All right, I'm here with Mardell and Zach for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Do you want to introduce your buddy there?
I will. In just a minute, we have Zach Lokes with us, and I will explain who he is and why he is and all of that in just a minute. But before that, I want to take just a moment to remind people about the workshop. Tomorrow is your last day to get in and signed up with the early registration, which is $25. After tomorrow, it's going to be $35 for the workshop. And a couple things I wanted to say, be thinking, if you have any extra spices that you're willing to bring, donate, be thinking about that. And also remember to save your own quart jar, but also maybe some extra jars for the foraging walk. On Friday, we are going to be doing a foraging walk, which is free. Nobody has to pay for this. We're meeting at the library at 2:30, and we're going to go out, and Sandor is going to be with us, and we're doing a foraging walk with an eye to fermentation, which means that he suggested that we were going to make some beverages, fermented beverages. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting that we may collect some wild edibles to put into our ferment the next day during the workshop. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to be. We're going to be teaching him about our plants, and he's going to be teaching us about how we can use these plants mm-hmm. in ferments. So
if anyone's interested in probiotics...
Oh, sure. This is what it's
definitely
a,
yeah. what you need
it's
to go
what
to this
it
workshop.
Is. Yeah, that's yeah. right. And so beverages, I just made a rhubarb beverage that is really yummy and simply just fermenting rhubarb. And I will say one other thing. If you want to get a jump start on this and really understand what is happening with this and to try some recipes before, his books are available right now. They're at Babbling Book and they are at Second Nature. And Second Nature has some fermentation supplies as well. And so go and check out their supplies and fermentation things. So enough said about that. We are going to talk about another book. Actually, we're not going to talk about the book so much, but Zach Lokes is with us today. He came out to visit yesterday, and I said, wow, will you come on the Garden Conversation and share some of your knowledge? He's written a book, and the name of the book is The Permaculture Market Garden. And we're not necessarily going to talk about that as much as some of his concepts. I'm going to let him give just a quick little bio, but he was raised in permaculture, so he gets the concepts, and we're going to talk about one of those concepts. But so why are you here, Zach? What brings you to Haines, Alaska?
Yeah, thanks for having me out on the show, and it mm-hmm. was a pleasure to see your place and some of the other places here in Haines and
sure.
this part of Alaska. Right now, I'm on book tour for my book, The Permaculture Market Garden, which is a guide to starting a small property from scratch with the potential to become a diversified farm or small farm business. And while I'm on book tour, I tend to look around. I'm getting a bit of a census of what's happening in home gardening and landscaping and farm production all over North America and the world to see avenues forward to a more ecological future.
And what people are actually doing. I'm sure you
exactly.
get ideas as well as being able to give your ideas to others.
Now, absolutely. Where are you from, Zach?
Right now, my farm, I have a small farm in the Ottawa Valley in Ontario, but I grew up on a permaculture homestead just outside of the city limits of Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty different climate.
Pretty That's different
pretty,
conditions.
Pretty different climate. But yeah. But now he's in a completely different area. Ottawa is a different climate than
right,
all
right.
of us. So
That's
yeah.
right, yeah.
Yeah. So your thing is, and I'm going to kind of cut to the chase, we talked quite extensively yesterday, is creating edible landscapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people think that your only option, let's say a yard, is to have grass. And mm-hmm. There are other options, aren't there?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, whether you're a homestead or have a home in town, there's so much potential for the spaces that we have. The majority of our space in the social landscape, the human landscape, landscapes that we've had a lot of influence on over hundreds of years, are underutilized. There's a lot of edge environment, for instance, mm-hmm. that we find in cities, along roads, along walkways, along your driveway, along the walkway up to your home. The perimeters of your house, big fields, community spaces, parks, there is a lot of this space that's not being utilized. And, you know, I can enjoy lawn as much as the next person, but there's certain amounts of lawn that we use, and then there's certain amounts that are just there as filler. And so my interest right now primarily lies in bringing edible ecological solutions to these margins of our landscape.
So edible, give some examples of what kind of things do you recommend for some of those edges?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you have a walkway coming up to your house, then, you know, taking a 3-foot space on one side or both sides and double digging down and raising up a 6, 8-inch, 10-inch raised bed of soil, mixing in some organics and putting that in, say, raspberries, a red, yellow, mm-hmm. black raspberry, integrating some thyme along the edge of that edge mm-hmm. in order to create a buffer there. Could be along the street front and having fruit trees. And I like to have a fruit tree border along the sidewalk, and then you can integrate berries between those. Hascaps are a great one for any northern gardener.
Right, that's
delicious,
a new one.
Honeyberry.
Yeah, that's a kind of a new one. There's several people in this community who have some. I just bought some a few weeks ago and have that planted. So that's a really, it's called Hascap in Canada.
Yep.
We're talking to a Canadian or somebody who's living in Canada right now.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's called Hascap, and in the United States, it's called Honeyberry.
Yes.
And they come from Japan, and they come from Russia. There's a couple different
yep.
strains, but they do really well in northern climates, and they're kind of bushy. That's
okay.
one thing.
So
that's,
they're more like a blueberry bush or something.
Yeah, bigger than a blueberry bush.
They're a honeysuckle, so you'll
they
see the flowers,
yeah.
and they tend to be bushy, but also a bit viney.
Yeah.
But
you can prune them, can't you?
You can prune them. Yeah. Keep them up a little bit. It'll
mm-hmm.
help you out. What I love about them, in addition to them being delicious, they taste sort of like a blueberry
kind
meets
of
a
like
raspberry.
A yeah.
You know?
Yeah, kind of a combination.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but they're very early.
Yeah, they're an early berry. They're earlier than the strawberries even, which are one of
yep.
the first berries here. Yeah.
Yep. So it really can yep. extend that
mm-hmm.
season.
And the nice thing that the reason I think that they can fit really well and I'm putting them into my landscape is because they don't get so tall that they're going to shade things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of important. It's one of my frustrations of doing trees. Yeah, you plant a little tree now, but you know that in a
mm-hmm.
few years it's going to be a big tree. And so I like the concept of looking at my edges and figuring out what I can do, but you do have to be careful about sunlight and how big something's going to get, of course. So, but I guess we have some control over that, too. We can prune trees to keep them small.
Yeah, we can prune them. We can also choose the root stock. So you can
yeah.
go for a dwarf root stock or a semi-dwarf root stock.
Mm-hmm.
You can also stick to, like we were talking about, berries or shrubs, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
saskatoons, elderberries.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get as large as a full-size fruit tree. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they'll be able to fit that niche.
So now you're a big advocate of digging a bed, making a bed for your, whether it be berries or trees or whatever, which is a little bit of a different concept than what I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, so the permabed system that I've developed on my property, it maximizes the capacity to create a good soil environment. So part of the idea behind that raised bed is that in the center of it, you start to develop a core of soil integrity. And by soil integrity, I mean an area that's not compacted so that there's more pore space,
mm-hmm.
Space that is void within the soil. If you're flatland gardening, even when you step adjacent to your, you know, garden space, that compaction is going into the center. But if the bed is raised up a little bit, it's more resistant to your foot traffic compaction. And the porosity of the soil is really important. The air is beneficial for microorganisms. The water space is beneficial in order to have a higher capacity to hold water into dry seasons and just to be available
and
for the plants
drain.
As well.
In our situation, drainage is a really pretty important aspect. And so,
could you explain how you go about making a garden bed?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to hit on that drainage, because that is a good point. There's macro pore space and micro pore space in the soil. And those macro pore space hold air and bring in water when the soil becomes saturated, but that's where it drains away. And the micro pore space is what actually holds the water in reserve for the plants. So we really want that soil integrity so that we have both kinds of pore spaces. Mm-hmm. So building the soil up is the way to go about that. If you had, say, a yard area to go about building a permabed system, and you wanted to take a side yard or front or backyard and turn it into a section of beds, maybe 3 beds or 6 beds or 9 beds, and for a home garden scale, having the center of the path to the center of the adjacent path be about 4 feet, say. You can run a line between two stakes, two fencing stakes, two posts or anything, and walk along that line and just mark into the soil and dig out that line and put it onto the bed adjacent. And then you can pace off the 4 feet and move your stake and walk to the other end of your garden and pace off the 4 feet and stick your stake in again. And then also scratch a line in the soil and then apply that soil to the bed adjacent. So if you have, you're starting with bare soil, then that's how you could go about systematically raising that up.
And so one of the things that a lot of people have been doing here is raising our beds up by putting brush, debris, whatnot in the bottom of the bed, and then utilizing our precious soil, because we don't have very much of it, and enhancing that soil with seaweed and whatnot on top. But it gets raised up by putting debris. And I think yesterday you were saying, well, the smaller that debris is, actually the better it is in terms of how quickly it's going to break down and whatnot. But it doesn't have, it can be brush and stuff out of the forest is great because there's already, it's breaking down. It's already got those microbes in it. And so as I'm understanding it, you're saying digging down, and that might be when you're going to put your brush, your debris in, and then put soil, enhanced soil back on top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of method, that huliculture style where you have debris underneath and then you build up sandwich layers of soil, local soils, topsoil, compost, even grass clippings to slowly make a raised bed. That's a great method as well. Sometimes, depending on the availability, if you can access hay bales as an initial boost to your garden, and I really believe in, if you want to get into gardening, you know, allow yourself to give it a boost. You know, invest a little bit in some extra materials to get you ahead quickly. And then the regenerative nature of your garden system is really going to be kickstarted. So if you can get your hands on some small square bales or hay bales, you can create a huliculture compost bed where you line the bed with the hay bales and then you put a third in of debris and then you start to sandwich soil and compost and grass clippings and eventually fill that up to becoming a raised garden bed that has a really nice stable side.
Yeah, I really like that idea because as it decomposes, one, you don't have to replace your wood, and as it decomposes, it adds to your soil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can also use those straw bales for building a compost bin, and then as they decompose, you just kind of feed
can
it into
in.
The to
That's
the
right.
middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that we do have to bring in that straw. It's not something that is in our community. At least I don't know anybody who's mowing and making straw straw and hay bales. But you know, that, so that's a trade-off. I like to use local
here.
Materials. Yeah.
They
are sold here. Yeah,
another option is bagged leaves.
Right.
So again, what I love to say, and I'm just going to say it here, is it's the principles that are important in all this. Whether we see them as permaculture principles or ecosystem principles, but the idea of bringing up, you know, organic matter as the edges of the bed, the sides of the bed, to help lift it and to stabilize it as it develops. and it could be bagged leaves, it could be hay bales.
So be creative
yeah.
in what you've got. Yeah. Okay, we are out of town again.
It
goes so fast. I was just asked to re-announce the date of the workshop, which I forgot. It's July 14th. It's a Saturday at 12:30. 12:30 to 3:30 is what you can expect it to last. July 14th, in the middle of the summer. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Zach. We could talk for a long time, I know. But thanks for coming in and sharing your knowledge. And again, the book is The Permaculture Market Garden, and it's a really fun book to look at. Lots of great graphics that give you a really clear idea of some good concepts. So,
absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me out.
Sure.
Thank you so much. That's Mardell and Zach with the Garden Conversation. It's 9 o'clock, and you're tuned to your community radio station, KHNS, proudly serving the Upperland Canal at 102.3 and 91.9 on your FM radio dial, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan.